unprecedented air of professionalism, with authority and pomp as though they knew what they were doing, as though people in themselves were an appropriate set of creatures to have dealings with God. I often think of the set pieces of the liturgy as certain words which people have successfully addressed to God without their getting killed. In the high churches, they saunter through the liturgy like mohawks along a strand of scaffolding who have long since forgotten their danger. If God were to blast such a service to bits, the congregation would be genuinely shocked. But in the low churches, you expect it any minute. This is the beginning of wisdom. There is a certain familiarity with the holy that numbs us to its presence in our midst. God needed some place so weak that the presence of the treasure would come as a welcome sign of good news, not as a threat like it did to Herod. God needed some place so helpless that the news of the treasure would come not as good news, too good to be believed as it was to Zechariah, but news so good there could be nothing else but to believe. And it is then that Luke tells us the surprising place where God left the treasure. In the womb of a peasant woman. A place that the world would count of no importance. And the first place in the Gospel of Luke where the treasure is proclaimed to the world is not in a pulpit or the Roman Senate. It's not by the Cleland preacher or the Apostle Paul or Peter. It's in a conversation between two pregnant women about the life of God which is growing within them. In a conversation about stretch marks and swollen ankles, the good news is first proclaimed in a place of weakness and in a place of helplessness and vulnerability. And for that, we can give thanks. Because in those moments we are honest about ourselves and our world, we realize that if the good news of God's treasure is to be born again into our world, it will be precisely in places just that weak and precisely in places just that helpless. When my family and I lived in Atlanta, we worshiped in a Presbyterian church, which was in the center city of town and had a long history of ministry to the urban situation. One of the problems facing Atlanta, as facing many cities, is the presence of a large number of street people who have nowhere to sleep. They sleep in the bus station, under expressway bridges, in open fields, wherever they can find a place to lay their head. This church had an old gymnasium with a warped floor, had not used it in years, but it was still lighted and heated, and they put two and two together and decided to open up the gymnasium on cold winter nights and invite as many of the street people as could come in to spend the night. Well, they called for volunteers from the congregation, and I volunteered for one night in February. I knew that I would need some help, so I called up a friend of mine. He was not a member of this particular congregation, but he's a good friend and willing to help me out, and sure enough, he said that he could join me that night. Now, I need to tell you about my friend, that he is a friend who is a little bit embarrassed about having a minister as a friend. He will often begin depthful conversations by saying something like, "Well, I know I'm not a theologian, but..." Well, anyway, we arrived at the church on our appointed night. We went into the gymnasium. We set out the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and the styrofoam cups of tea that we were serving to the people. And when all was ready, we opened the doors of the gymnasium. And my God, nothing could have prepared us for what walked in that door. chronically alcoholic, chronically insane, their clothes tattered and worn, their Salvation Army shoes cracked so that you could see the street sores on their feet. They took the sandwich, they took the tea, made nests of newspapers, and lay down for the night. I said to my friend, "One of us needs to be awake at all times. Do you want to take the first shift or do you want me?" He surveyed the scene and said, "You know, I think I'd like to try to get to know some of these people and hear some of their stories. Why don't you sleep first and then I'll sleep after you?" "All right," I said, going to the staff room, "wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning." At 2 o'clock, he shook my shoulders, and even though the room was dark, I could still feel the excitement on his face. "What is it?" I said. "I'm not a theologian," he said, "but I think Jesus Christ is out there." I think my friend had discovered in our world where God decided to leave the treasure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, creator of worlds, judge of all persons, ruler of the universe, you have not deemed it an unworthy thing to take the form of our flesh and come among us. Even though all things were yours, you reached out for the warmth and love of a human family. Thus we have seen you come. In the conversation of poor Hebrew women, as one for whom there was not room at the inn, a refugee family fleeing to a strange land, a child whose wisdom astounded the scholars, a physician who had compassion upon the broken, a teacher who taught by embodying the truth, a savior who was willing even to die for the ones who rejected his salvation. Therefore, we are bold to pray for the hungry of the world, that they might be filled with good things, for the poor and the humble, that they might be lifted up by your strength, for all those who are cold this December because of poor housing, For those whose bereavement and depression will be sad contrast with the holiday merriment around them. For those who will spend Christmas in hospitals or upon beds of pain. For those who will not receive the gift that they long for. And for those who think that mere things are all that they need. We pray. Gracious Lord, it embarrasses us to pray for things like good health, the safety of our children, food, warm homes, joy, even when we seek these good things for others. It seems so petty of us. An interruption of the beauty of worship by mentioning such mundane, earthly, creaturely matters. But we pray thus in the name of one who did not deem our earth an unfitting place in which to be born, or our flesh an inappropriate vessel for the fullness of God to dwell. Because you reached out to us, we are bold to reach out to you in prayer, interceding for the needs of those whom you love. Thus we have been bold to pray to him who became one of us so that we might, in all things, become one with him. Amen. This is a season when we celebrate God's gracious gift to us. As a gifted and forgiving people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts now to God.
Thank you. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the joy of ringing bells, for the sure word of a gifted preacher, for the celebration of this time of worship, for the light which shines in the darkness. We thank you that you came upon the world among the humble and lowly of the world, thus revealing your love for us. We acknowledge all of this as sure sign of your gracious presence and offer these our gifts to you as thanksgiving, praying as we have been taught, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.